Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Yudal Ramah Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah said, Erchin HaMetatlin need three Dayanim. Ask the Gemara, my Erchin HaMetatlin, what is the definition of Erchin HaMetatlin? We know that the parish of Erchin that the Torah HaKadosha speaks about is every person based on their age and their gender has a specific value. So the Gemara's question is that for that, we don't need to do any evaluation. We don't need to do any assessment because we just follow the directions that the Torah HaKadosh gives us. So what is meant by Erchin HaMetatlin? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Gidl Amar Rav. It's speaking about, somebody said, Erech Kli Zeh Olai. He says he's going to give the Erech of a specific piece of equipment. Damrav Gidla Marav, Ha'omer, if somebody says Erech Kli Zeh Olai, if he says he's going to give the Erech of a Keli, the Loch is Noisen Damav, he has to give its value to the Hegdish. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, where do we take that halacha from? Answers the Gemara, Adam Yedeya, Shein Erech Kli. Everybody knows, as we said, that there is no Erech when we speak about a Keli. Erech is said to people according to their age and gender. So when somebody said Erech Keli Olai, and we have a rule that we've discussed many times in Shas, and that is that Ein Adam Moitzi Dvar Al Vatala, people don't waste their words. So if somebody said Erech Keli Olai, he had something in mind. He didn't mean to say something meaningless. What he meant to say was the gomer va'omar. That what he meant to say was the shum domim, to give the value, and therefore umisham hoichi noisin domov. And therefore the halach is he gives the value of that keli. Ask the Gemara if that's what the Mishnah meant to say. Hay erchin hamatatlin. Then the wording that we're speaking about seems to be incorrect because the wording is Erchin HaMetatlin, Erchin Shel Metatlin B'boile. When you say the Erech of a Metatlin, that's what you should have to give. Answers the Gemara, indeed. We have to change the wording of the Mishnah, and the wording of the Mishnah has to read, Tani Erchin Shel Metatlin, if you are going to give the Erech of a Metatlin, this is how we make the assessment how much it's worth. Rav Chisda Amar Avimi has a different interpretation of the Mishnah. It's speaking about somebody, Hamatvis Metatlin L'Erchin. Somebody said Erchi Olai, so now he has to give whatever is prescribed. And now he said he took different Metatlin that he owns, and he's going to say, and he said, Hare Elu L'Erchi, I want to use these Metatlin to pay what I owe. So now once he said those words, those Metatlin get a Kedusha. And once those Metatlin get a Kedusha, we want to redeem them to see if they are equal to what he owes or what has he given. So the Gemara is saying that for that we have to have three Dayanim. Ask the Gemara again, if that's what the Mishnah meant to say, Hey Erchin Metatlin, then the wording is off. It shouldn't have said Erchin Metatlin. The wording of the Mishnah should have been Metatlin Shel Erchin Meboile. That if I identified certain Metatlin will be the way I pay my Erech, then I need three Dayanim to assess them. Answers the Gemara, indeed. Tani, we have to change according to this teretz of the Gemara, the wording of the Mishnah to say Metatlin Shel Erchin. Ravu Amar, a different pshat in the Mishnah. It's speaking about somebody who said Erechi Holai. Somebody said, I'm going to give my Erech to Hegdish. And now he needs to pay up what he owes. And the halach is, Bokoin Ligvis Mimenu, if the coin comes to take for him what he owes, and the coin takes Metatlin to be used to pay off his obligation, the halach is that those Metatlin have to be assessed, what is their value, and that assessment is done b'shloisha, it's done with three Dayanim, and teaches us the Gemara that if they're taking real estate to pay off the debt, then asara, then 10 people, halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, and we will learn again in Mitzvah Shem about this halacha, will need 10 people to do that assessment. So the Rosh Hash asks a question. The first two terutzim were answers that were relevant to Erchin. But what's special about this teretz that Rav Avuah say our Mishnah has to speak about? The halacha, in the first teretz, we understand, ein adam moitzid varav levatala, if somebody gave matatlin to pay for his erech. But what is this different than any other halacha that when we're taking something for hegdish, the halacha is that we have to do with the evaluation of three dayanim. So the Rishonim answer what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. There's nothing special about the erech part of this Mishnah. The chiddush is that even when we're taking something, when we're taking something from an individual for him to pay off his debt, the chiddush of our Gemara is that it's taken from him and we still have to do the assessment. Amalei Rav Achim Adifta L'Ravina. Bishlam Elafukim Hegdish. We understand if there's something that's Hegdish and now we want to redeem it and we want to know its value. So the Tarak Dosh, as we said, has taught us that we need three Dayanim. But here we're speaking about taking something which is not Hegdish and making into Hegdish. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know that halacha? Eliyuli lehegdish, that if we want to make something into hegdish, where do we see that shloish lamali, that there's a place for three dayanim that are required? And the Pashto Teretz is, because the Torah only speaks about, the Pashto Peshat in the Gemara's question is, that the Torah only speaks about redeeming something which is hegdish, not about making something or something into Hegdish. So the question of the Gemara is, where does it say that in the Torah? Amalei, to which Ravina answered, Svaruhu. It's logical, because Mali Ayuli, Mali Afuki. The Gemara is saying there's no reason to treat something that's going to be taken out of Hegdish different than something that's going to be made into Hegdish. Afuki, my Tama, and why did the Torah insist that there should be three Dayanim when we're taking something that is hegdish, and making it that it should not be hegdish, we want to redeem it, that we need three dayanim, a fuki mai tama, because we want to make sure dimatoi. So the same thing, a yule, if we want to make something hegdish, we want to make sure that we got the right number, there should be no mistake, dimatoi, and that's why we need three dayanim. Rabbi Huda Aymer, echemehem koyin. Rabbi Huda says one of these dayanim has to be a koyin. That's why the Torah spoke about says the word koyin, because you need a koyin. Ask the Gemara El Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, that you don't need a koyin. So why does the Torah use the word koyin lamali? Answers the Gemara, kasha. It's indeed a kasha. But as we've often stated in our shiurim, that there's a difference between when the Gemara uses the word kasha versus when the Gemara uses the word tiyufta. When the Gemara uses the word tiyufta, it means that the Gemara doesn't believe that there's an answer to the question. When the Gemara uses the word kasha, there is a teretz, but the Gemara hasn't offered it. So what would be the teretz? So Yad Ramah says that even the Chacham agree that lechatchila, a kohen should be part of the group that is making this assessment. Just the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda says that it's absolutely necessary to have a Kohen being one of the group. And the Chachamim say it's only lemitzvah, it's only preferred, but it's not absolutely essential. We learned further in the Mishnah, HaKakos, when it comes with Kak, that's Hegdish, we need to have Tisha for Kohen. Ask the Gemara, not immediately. Where does that halacha come from? Am Shmuel. So Shmuel explains, because Asara Kahanim Ksuvim v'Parsha, the Torah uses the word Koyin in the Parsha of redeeming Hegdish. Chad Legufei, one is to teach us the halacha that you must have a Koyin. And the other nine times that it's stated, Hanuch, the other nine times that it's stated, have a mirach, a miut. We know that the halacha is, if the Torah says a double miut, then the halacha is a mirach, a miut, elul rabbis. What the Torah means to do with this is actually tell us that something now becomes the halacha. And therefore, I feel a tish of Yisrael, the halacha will be nine Yisrael and one kohen will be good. Ask the Gemara, Maskler of Hunabere Rav Nosson, Eima, if we're going to learn as a miut achamiut, the way it should be learned is the first time it says kohen means specifically a kohen. The second time it says kohen, it's a miut achamiut, so it means that you don't need to have a kohen. And then we keep on going back and forth, and then we'll have five miuts achamiut, and if we'll have five miut achamiut, then the halacha should be that we should have five kohanim. One, where do we get to the result that one kohen is enough? And the Gemara says, kasha, it's indeed kasha. The question that the Rishonim asked, we mentioned this when we started the Masechta, is that we learned quite extensively at the beginning of Masechta that ein bezdin shakel, we never have an even number of dayanim. But what we're having here is that we're having an even number. We have 10, 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kayin. How can we end up with such a number? So the Rashba says that since the Torah was specific and saying that it should be 10 people, so when is there a halacha that we could add? We could add when the Torah doesn't specifically say differently. But if the Torah specifically said we want 10 people, we may not add one person because of any consideration. Another teretz that the Mefarshim say is that all 10 people, we quoted this pshat, is that all 10 people have to agree. It's not like a din Torah where we have a vote taken and we follow the majority. Rather, the halacha requires that all 10 agree. So if all 10 agree, then the halacha is that if we have to be unanimous, there's no problem of even or odd number that we should have a majority. Another pshat that they suggest is that this group, this concept that we've been discussing throughout our shiur of assessing the value is not really an act of Bezdin. Bezdin issues psak. This is not really a psak. This is really much more of a situation of an evaluation. It's not a Bezdin rule. The halacha that we can't have an even number is a rule in Bezdin. Here we're not speaking about Bezdin. Says the Gemara, Vadam Kiyotzman. The same halacha applies by a person. Ask the Gemara, Adam Mikodesh, what is the situation that a person is Kodesh that we need to do the evaluation? Says the Gemara, Amar Bavua, Ba'omer Demei Olai. A person said, I'm going to give my value to Hegdish. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Ha'omer Demei Olai, if somebody says, I'm going to give my value to Hegdish, Shaman Isoi Ke'ever Hanimka Bishuk, we evaluate how much a person like this is worth as sold an Eved. And the halacha is that Eved is kishlo karkos, that Eved is compared in halacha to karka. So just like by karka, we just learned the evaluation by karka is done by 9 and 2. The same thing is the Adam that's Kaddish. So Taisus asks, why don't we just say that what was given to Hegdish was an Eved Kanani, which we could donate anything to Hegdish, so we could donate an Eved Kanani, and now we want to redeem it, and we have to know how many people we need for redemption. So Taisus says, it doesn't make sense to say that Amish is talking about an Eved Kanani, because the word Adam is not a word that's used in relationship to Avodim. Adam is a word that's used to free people. Another teretz, the halacha is that Taisus in Masechet Megillah actually quotes a Yerushalmi, that to be Paida and Eved Kanani, you only need 3 people, not 10 people. Another pshat is that there is an opinion, Taisa says, the Rav says, that a magdish avdo, if you a magdish eved, he just goes free. So again, according to that teretz, there is no case of how the Gemara's question is: what is the situation where Adam is kaddish? Moreover, another teretz the Tosfos says is that the Mishnayis always group avodim and kakaos together. If the Adam of our Mishnah is a eved, it should have been grouped together with the karka. The Tosfos, however, asks that this din of avodim hukshel kakos is by eved kanani. Here we're speaking about a yisrael, and we don't have a precedent that a yisrael hukshel karka. So the Chasam Sofer actually says a very big chiddush. The Chasam Sofer says that when the Torah says v'snachaltem, from which we learn eved hukshel kakos, says the Chasam Sofer that pasuk is not just limited to an eved kanani. It speaks about an eved ivri as well. It speaks about an eved ivri as well. So ask the Gemara, Bayre Rav Oven, Ser ha'omer ligozes, if hair is going to be cut, how many people do here are a human being that we were magdish, but it's about to be cut. Bekama, how many people do we need to make the assessment of the value? Do we seek gozes dummy? The halacha already views that here as if it's cut ubishloisha, or does the halacha view it as it's still connected to the body of that eved or that person, and you need 10 people? Toshma. So Gemara wants to bring a raya from the following brisa. The brisa says hamagdish is avdoi. If somebody's magdish is eved, and we know when something is hegdish, they're subject to mi'ilah. So there's no mi'ilah on the eved. Amay alamboy. There's no mi'ilah on the eved because avodim hukshel kakos, avodim compared to karka, and since there's no mi'ilah by karka, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, then there is no mi'ilah on the eved either. However, says the Tanna Kamma, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, my alam basaroi, on the hair of the eved there is mi'ilah because the basara emel gozes pligi, and the kaimelam basara emel gozes pligi. We're talking about hair that's going to be cut, and the question is hair that's going to be cut considered still connected to the eved, and then it wouldn't be subject to mila? Or is it already considered as if it's not connected and it's subject to mila? And Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it is. Shema mino, that something that's oimeli gozes kegozes domi. And this is relevant to a number of questions in halacha. One halacha is, if somebody has an esrig, didn't have an esrig, didn't have dalaminim on sukkis, but he's able to locate dalaminim that are still connected to the tree, do we say that something that's mechuber, but it's oimed ligozes, you're going to detach the esrig after yontav, after Shabbos, is it considered kegozes dummy? And the paiskim discuss this question, and it seems that one would be able to be yoitz the dalaminim with it. But I saw that the Shalas Tshuvas Mishnah Locha says that when the Torah tells us that we have to take the dalaminim on Sukkos, the wording of the Torah is v'lekachtem lechem, and we can't be mekayim the mitzvah of lekachtem lechem when it's connected, even if we'll say kol ayim legozes kegozes domi. Then the other question is, will hair that's on somebody's head, but somebody's supposed to have a haircut, do we say that kol ayim legozes kegozes domi? And the halacha is as if the hair is this cut off. If that's going to be the case, if it will be a chatzitza for somebody who's wearing tefillin. But the Paiskim, I'm sorry for discussing this question, and other Paiskim discuss this question, and they seem to say that when is there a discussion, how do we look at the hair, that's only in a case where we're going to do something with that hair. We're going to sell that hair. And now we want to know how to treat the value of that hair. But in a situation where the hair that's going to be cut, which is usually a case on the hair on a man, that it's not sold, it's just discarded, there everybody will agree that even if we say Sarah Oymel Gozes Dami, we won't say it on that hair. Says the Gemara, Name ahani kanoi, kanan tanoi. So Gemara wants to say that this question that we're discussing is actually a machloikus tanoim. The tanan, remei ami yesh tvarim shein kakarka, they are things that are still connected, vein kakarka, but the halacha doesn't treat them like that way. Vein chacham and moidim loy, the chacham do not agree with remeia. Ketzad, what does that mean? If somebody says to someone else, I ask you to watch 10 grapevines with grapes on them. And the other person says, there were only 5. Rameya Mechayiv. So this is a case of Moedim Mixus. You said 10, I said 5. So Rameya says that this is a case where you're going to have to make a shvua of Moedim Mixus. The Chamaimrim, Kol Mechubal Karka, anything that's attached to the ground, Areika Karka, and the Aloch is, Einish Bon Al Kakar. So even though it technically is Moedim Mixus, it is a case of Moedim Mixus, but we don't make a shvua on Karka. And that's Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina in explaining that machloikus says that the case of the machloikus is we're talking about grapes that are supposed to be cut. And Marsov, Ramey's opinion is that the halacha views it as kivitzuris damyan, as if they're already cut, and therefore it's not karka, and this will be a case of moedim amixis where a shvua is made. Well, Marsov, whereas the opinion of the chacham is like kivitzuris damyan, as long as they're not cut, they're not treated like cut, says the Marloi. I feel the time Rameya. Even if we'll say that Rameya says the kol oimel gozes lavka gozes dami, there won't be a problem. At kalan kam Rameya hasam, there Rameya said that the look at the grapes as if they're cut off, because kol kam the shafkla mukhashi, as long as you leave the grapes on the tree after they're ripe, they're only going to weaken the tree. They're only going to not get any better. That's why Ramey says that we view those grapes as if they're already cut. But when we speak about hair, kokam the shafchalu, as long as you leave hair on the head, the hair gets longer and better. And therefore, by hair, we won't necessarily say, but by grapes, says Rameya, are very different than here, and that's why by grapes I say that the halacha views them as if they're already cut. We learned in the Mishnah further, Din in Nefashis, Haroiv of Anerva Be'esim V'Shloisha. Says the Gemara, Kapasuk B'Tani, our Mishnah said a rule, Loishna Rav V'Zachav, Loishna Rav V'Nekeva. It doesn't make a difference if an animal had relations with a man or with a woman. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav V'Nekeva, if the animal had relations with a woman, the ksiv, v'raktas ha'ishavas behema. The Torah is very explicit that we kill both the man and the animal. Ella roi v'zocha menolan. Ask the Gemara, where do we know that an animal had relations with a human being also gets killed? Says the Gemara, the ksiv, because the pasuk says, kol shoychiv im behema mes yumas. The pasuk is ostensibly speaking that the person initiated the relationship. But the Torah teaches us that im ein inyan, there's a rule in the Torah that if the pasuk is not necessary to teach us what it says, we use it for a different purpose, not to leave the pasuk without any purpose. So im ein inyan l'shoichiv, if it's not there to teach us what a man initiated, because for that we already have a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'isha shiyite shchifte behema mais yumas ves behema taraygu teneu inyan l'nishkav." It's talking about if the animal initiated. So the question is, why did the Torah say it this way? If we're saying that this pasuk is speaking about when the animal initiated the situation, shouldn't have the Torah said the pasuk in such wording? V'afke rachmana b'loshen shaychiv. The Torah used this type of wording, Lakusha Nechkev L'Shoichiv. Mas Shoichiv, if the man initiated it, the halacha is Hu or Behemtoi Besim Shloish, both he and the animal get killed in front of a Bezin of 23 members. Af Nishkav, if the animal initiated, Hu or Behemtoi, both he and the animal are judged Besim Shloish at a Bezin with 23 Dayanim. We learned further in the Mishnah, Shara Niskel Besim V'Shloisha, that an animal gets killed, the halacha is that you have to have a bezdin of 23. Ask the Gemara, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hashar Yisok V'gam Baal of Yumas, Kemisas Abalim, just like when a person is up a trial for capital case, we need 23 Dayanim, Kach Misas Hashar. Says the Gemara, Omalei Abayel Rava, Mamai, how do we know that this Pasuk of Hashar Yisok V'gam Baal Yumas, Kemisas Baalim, Kach Misas Hashar, Dorsu, that we need to have 23 Dayanim, Emelik Talak Dorsu, all the pasuk is coming to teach us that if a person, if an animal killed a person, we have to kill the animal and its owner. Ask the Gemara, Im Kain, if that's what the pasuk meant to teach us, Lichtav Hashar Yisakol V'gam Balav V'lishtaik, and not say the word Yumas. And we would understand that the pasuk is coming to teach us that both the animal and its owner must be put to death. However, now that the Torah added the word yumas, the pasuk is just coming to teach us that we treat the animal like its owner. And whenever the animal, whenever the owner needs 23 dayanim, so will the animal need 23 dayanim. Ask the Gemara, maybe if we may, if the Torah would have just said, Kishar Yisak of a Gam Balav, Ikas of Rachmana Hachi, I would say Havamina, what the Torah is coming to teach us is that the owner gets killed, and the Torah is teaching us that it should get, we would think he gets skila. That's why the Torah said Yumas, that he doesn't get skila, he only gets chenik. So again, how do we know? Maybe we should say that the pshat and the pasuk is the simple pshat and the pasuk. And the simple pshat and the pasuk is that both the animal and the owner should get killed. Ask the Gemara, how could we think that we had the pasuk Shor Yisok of a Gambolov should mean that the owner should get skila? Kotl Iu, what happens if a person, Rachman al-Tzlan, murders somebody? He's put to death with Sayif, which is a lot less severe than skila, as we're going to learn in Amasechta. So if a person kills another person, that he's sentenced to Sayif. Memoinoi, in a case where it was an animal of his, and he's getting killed because his animal killed somebody, can it conceivably be said that he should get skila? Answers the Gemara, the Dilma, maybe what the pasuk is coming to teach us, to hide the kos rachmana yumas, lekule alei, to tell us that even though when a person kills another person, the type of misa he gets is sayif, here, lafuki misayif lechenek, that he'll only get chenek. Says the Gemara, hanicha, so according to the opinion, and we're going to have later in the Masechta a discussion when we speak about the Abba Mises Bezna Skila Srefa Herik Chenek, which is the most severe. So Hanich Lamanda Mechenek Chomer, the Chenek is considered a more severe death sentence than Sayif. So that's what we're going to say, that the Pasuk is teaching us that if somebody killed somebody else, he'd be Chayif Sayif, and if his animal killed somebody else, he'll be chayef chenek. And that's what the pasuk says, Yumas. Elamad amachenek kill, Michael Maimer. We could say that the pasuk is coming to teach us and tell us that he's going to get chenek and not be off the hook. But how do we know it's not that he's off the hook? Says my lois akadatach. It doesn't make sense to say that the pasuk is going to teach us that the owner's chayef misa. The ksiv, im kaifa yushasalav. The Nosan Pinyan Nafshai, that the Tariq Dosha says that if somebody's animal kills someone else, he has to give the value of the person. There's a discussion what kaifer is, either the value of the animal or the value of the victim. Says the Gemara, V'sakadatach, if we're going to say that the owner, Bar Ketalu, was put to death, we know of a ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'loi sikl kaifer nefesh ritzayach, if somebody chayiv misa for his aveira, Kaifer is not an option. Answers the Gemara, Adrabba, Misham hi gufa. That pasuk actually supports what we're saying. And what the Tariq Daish is saying, Kotl iu, if somebody killed somebody else, that loch is loit his gleba mamayna, him paying won't do the trick. Ela b'ktala, the only option that we have is that he has to be killed. Kotl shayroi, but if his animal killed somebody, the Torah says, you have an option. Lifrik nafshi b'mamona, you could pay, and then you won't be chayiv misa. But if you won't pay, you'll be chayiv chenek. Ela mechaskia, v'kein tanit b'chaskia, amakra, mois yumas amakar itzeichu. So we learn from that pasuk, aritzichasay at the hargoy, you only kill a person when he murdered someone, v'yata hargoy aritzichas shayroy, but you don't kill somebody when his animal killed somebody. So the pasuk cannot possibly be coming to teach us that the owner of the animal will be chayiv misa. What must the pasuk be coming to teach us? The pasuk must be coming to teach us that just like the owner of the, and just like a person, if he kills, he's judged by Beis Din of 23, so too, when an animal kills, there's a Beis Din of 23. The pasuk says, regarding Har Sinai, that no one may go up on Har Sinai as the Kadosh Baruch Hu was preparing to give the Torah. And the pasuk says, in Behema, that anyone should not, no one should go up. And the Torah says, in Behema, im shor lo yichya. Any Behema ish, if an animal or a person do go up to Har Sinai, lo yichya, they won't be left to live. So ask the Gemari Bailu, shor Sinai, if an animal went up to Har Sinai, at Zman Matan Torah, Bekama, Hama Dayonim were needed. Mi Gama Shom Bedoris, do we say just like we're learning in our Sugya today, that we always have 23 Dayonim when we're judging an animal? There too, the animal that went up to Har Sinai would have to have 23 Dayonim or Loi. So of course, Tosfos asked the obvious question, why do we need to know that halacha? That halacha was by Har Sinai. It's not going to happen again. So why is it needed to know? So the simple teretz is that we want to understand what the Torah is telling us. We want to understand Drosh HaKabal Schar, to understand the words of the Torah. Another pshat that's given is that if somebody says, Hareini Nazir, I'm going to be a Nazir, Im Shor Sinai Nari Besim Vishloisha. If the shor that the Torah speaks about in that case needs a 23-member Beis Din, and now his Naziris is dependent on that. The Meiri says that actually there is a halacha that we learn from that halacha, and that is that an animal that walked in to the Beis HaMikdash is Chayiv Misa. And since we learned that halacha from there, so we want to know if the animal did wander into the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara wants to know how many Dayanim will be needed to make that decision. And of course, the simplest teretz is that there is no nafkamina, but Drosh V'Kabal Schar, we want to know, we want to learn Toshma, the Tani Rami Becheskel, and Behemim Ish La Yichya, Ma Ish, just like whenever we speak about a person, the Esrim V'Shloisha, we have to have 23 Dayanim. Af Behema, so too, has to be 23 Dayanim. We learned in the Mishnah, Hariva Azev, a lion, a fox, a doiv, a bear, a nem, a bardless, Bisosun, Esrim V'Shloisha. V'leza Oimer, Kol HaKoidim L'Horgon, whoever kills them first, Zohar. Omer Shlokish, when did Reb Leza say we should just kill this animal? Bishemisu, if these animals killed somebody, avloi himisu, if they didn't kill anybody, loy, then we have no right to kill them. Altma, obviously, Rish Lakish is teaching us, kasavi yeshlam tabas v'yeshlam balam, an animal could be trained, an animal, you can have an animal and just train him not to do any damage, just train them not to do any damage. Rabbi Yochanan has a different understanding of Rabbi Lez's opinion. And Rabbi Yochanan Omer, even if they haven't killed, you should kill them. Alma, obviously, it is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, Elam Tavis, Elam Balam. They can't be trained, and you can't keep such animals. Of course, explains the Meiri, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean to say that if somebody owns an animal, they shouldn't, and they do damage, he will not be held responsible. Of course, he will be held responsible. What we're learning from here is that we shouldn't keep him. asked the Gemara on Reish Lakish. But now we learned that our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kala Kaidem Lahargan Zocha. Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that a person could keep it, a person could kill an animal even if they haven't killed anybody. My Zocha, what does the Mishnah mean when it said the word Zocha? It means Zocha La'iron, that the person who killed these animals will get the hide of the animal. Elarish Lakish, who says that you have no right to kill them, Lamai Zocha, what does the Mishnah mean with the word Zocha? Kivin Shemesu, once they killed somebody, Shiman Shvinu Rabbanon, command the Gomadinu. Rav Shlokesh says, our Mishnah is speaking strictly about a case where the animal killed somebody. Once the animal killed somebody, and Rabbi Elazar says, as the minute that they killed somebody, we have a right to kill the animal, so the animal becomes a Surah Hano. So what does it mean? Zocha means that I take ownership. What am I taking ownership in? Answer the Gemara, my Zocha. What does the Mishnah mean with the word Zocha according to Rish Lakish? Zocha b'shamayim. He has a schus that he eliminated this dangerous animal. Tanya Kavosid Rish Lakish says the Gemara. We learned in the Braisla Rish Lakish. The Braisla says, Echad shor shahemis, vechad behem v'chayu shemisu, and a shor that killed or other animals that killed, we need to have esrim v'shloisha. If a shor kills, indeed we have a bezdin of esrim v'shloisha. However, shor behemis v'chayu shemisa, we don't wait for a din Torah. Kol ha'kodim l'hargum zocha ben l'shmayim, you get a mitzvah. And we see from here that even the Braisa supports what Reish Lakish says, that even Reish Lakish holds you can't kill them until they killed somebody else, and somebody who does kill them when they killed somebody else is going to have a schus in Shemayim. Kiva Omer, we continue learning the Mishnah, Misasim Basim Reish Lakisha. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakama. Rabbi Kiva is the same as the Tanakama. They both say that all animals should be killed with only through the decision of a bezdin of 23 members. Answers the Gemara, Ikevanayu Nochish. The nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Kiva is by a snake. According to the Tanakama, a snake is treated like a Ariv Zev, that according to the Tanakama, you need a bezdin of 23. And he will say, so is the halacha on a snake. Whereas the Rekiva is going to hold that a snake is different. And as the Gemara Masech, the Baba Kama, Daf Tezvav Amabeis teaches us, Hanokish Mu'ad La'olam. And he's going to hold that even though by other animals we need to have a bezdin of 23, by a Nochish, Rekiva says, we just kill him. The Bach says that if the shor of a nochri kills someone, it can be put to death by a single judge. He says that the judgment of the axe should not be any more stringent than the judgment of its owner. And if a nochri kills somebody, the halacha says the Bach, he can be put to death by a single judge. So too, his axe, he should be sentenced by a single judge. The Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Mem Aleph Amar Aleph teaches us from the Pasuk that a shor nisko is forbidden for benefit if it was sentenced to death by a bezdin of 23 dayanim. According to the Bach, the shor of a nochri will become also b'hano at the moment it did the damage, because the halacha is you don't need to have a bezdin, so we don't need the psak of the bezdin. The Chacham Tzvi disagrees and says that even by a shor of a nochri, you can't, it's not osabano, until the one dayin that you have to have has to be give the psak. The Michas Chinuch says that our Gemara that we just learned, that according to Rabbi Elazar, according to Reish Lakish, the animal becomes also b'hano after it kills someone, says the Michas Chinuch, this Gemara is a riot to the Bach. This Gemara clearly indicates that as soon as the animal did the damage, even though it wasn't yet sentenced, it's also b'hano. So we see that an animal that's chayiv misa and doesn't need to have a bezdin, it becomes also b'hano immediately. Our Gemara also spoke about dangerous animals and how we have to be careful about dangerous animals. There's a very famous tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Noyde B'Yehuda, Tanyana, Yoredei Simen Yud. And the question that is asked is, may a Jew go hunting? So the Noyde B'Yehuda says that we just learned in our Gemara how all of these animals are dangerous. So the Noyde B'Yehuda says that if it's a situation, so the Noyde B'Yehuda says that how could a person, that we just had a discussion how dangerous these animals are and under what circumstances need we be concerned, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So how, as a person, have a right to put himself into such a situation where he's going to be in contact with animals that are dangerous and could cause serious damage? Therefore, he certainly suggests that that's a reason a Jew should not go hunting. He also does say that if a person is doing it because he's doing it for panasa, he's going to sell the animals, he's going to eat the animals, it may be different. And he also points out that this entire behavior of going hunting for animals is not something which is the behavior becoming to a Jew. We are Rachmanim Beishanim Gamil Chasanim. We're Rachmanim. We're people who have Rachmanis. And we're not people that should be out to kill animals just because that brings us supposedly some enjoyment.